What's that? Good morning, church. Welcome as we celebrate this wonderful Father's Day and Trinity Sunday. A few announcements before we get started. The women's board will meet briefly after church. If you have any questions about that, you can see Linda Northrup. Also, thanks to all who helped for another successful Food on the Fly. I want to give a lot of thanks to our Food on the Fly committee. Their goal was to get up to 80 meals this week, and they did. So a great success. Hopefully, I think we're shooting for 100, 120 next? 100 next time. So we continue to hit these plateaus. We're very grateful for the volunteers who are putting time in behind the scenes and many of you who are showing up to purchase these meals. It's great to see how quickly this ministry has become successful. Also, don't forget, Brown Bag and Big Ideas will continue on Monday from noon to 1:15. Come join us at Tuscora Park if you're interested. Just a great time to converse and check in with one another as we talk about what's going on in our lives and our worship communities as we remain united as Moravians. The elders will meet Monday night at 7 p.m. And also, don't forget our garage sale is right around the corner this weekend, Friday 9 to 4 and Saturday 9 to 2. Feel free to come as a customer. There's always help needed in the kitchen and other positions. I'm sure Linda can find something for everyone to do, but we're excited to support this ministry as well. And also, the usher and greeter list is out for July and August, so if you get an opportunity to sign up for that in the narthex, that would greatly be appreciated. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Good morning, Alicia. You may remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 5th chapter of Romans, verse 1. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated.
please stand for the call to worship? The Almighty Father brought us forth as the first of his works.
God the Creator, be praised.
The Lord redeemed us by his precious blood.
God the Son, be praised.
The Holy Spirit comforts and sustains us all.
God the Holy Spirit, be praised.
Please turn to him, Holy, 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 found on 381.
Now pray together our Father's Day liturgy, which is in the Moravian Sing to the Lord, a new song booklet. You may remain seated as we join together and pray together. If you'd like to follow along, you have a green sheet, or you can follow along on the slides. Let us pray together. Lord, on this day, set aside in honor and remember fathers. We give you thanks for our fathers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them, and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in the form of time, courage, and patience. We thank you for the men who raised us, who were our fathers in childhood, whether biological father, adopted dad, older brother, uncle, grandfather, stepfather, or someone else. We thank you for those men who guided and protected us, who cared for us and held us in your love. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us, and that they would be pleased to be called our dads. We pray for our older dads whose children are grown.
Grant them glory and satisfaction.
We pray for new dads experiencing changes they could not predict. We pray for expecting men who will soon be dads.
Grant them patience and good counsel in the coming months.
We pray for dads who face the demands of single parenthood.
Grant
them strength and wisdom. We pray for dads who enjoy financial abundance.
Grant them time to share with their families.
We pray for dads who are raising their children in poverty. We pray for dads who try to balance vocation and family.
Grant them courage for the living of each day.
We pray for stepdads.
Grant them patience and understanding and love.
We pray for dads who are separated from their children.
Grant them faith and hope.
We pray for dads in marriage that are in crisis. We pray for dads who have lost children. We pray for fathers whose children's lives ended in abortion. We pray for dads who gave up their children for adoption. We pray for adoptive fathers. We pray for boys and men who think about being dads.
Grant them wisdom and discernment.
We pray for men who desperately want or wanted to be dads.
Grant them grace to accept your timing and will.
We pray for all men who have assumed the father's role in a child's life. We pray for dads who show us the way of faith.
Grant them the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
We pray for those people present who are grieving the loss of their father in the past year.
Grant them comfort and hope in Christ's resurrection.
I invite all fathers, men, and boys to stand for a blessing. I'll have a little brief moment of prayer, and then I'll make space for those of you who want to recognize fathers who are not physically with us, who are in the eternal kingdom. I'll give you a chance to shout out their name, and we'll make sure that they are recognized in worship as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you wonderful thanks for both our mothers and our fathers and our family. We know that the most important mission you give us is to be a loving example to the family you put before us. And we are so grateful for that. We are grateful for all the wonderful examples we have in our congregation of men who can be strong leaders, but wonderful, compassionate disciples who can take care of their children and also protect their children, who can be loving and supportive to their wives and the mothers of their family. Help to remind them to always continuously date and take care of their spouse, and to uplift them, and to parent together. And we are so grateful for the gift. And we realize that also today can be a bittersweet day for some people, because they're thinking about fathers that are now in life eternal, who are now in your kingdom. Help us to live in confidence that even though today is a bittersweet day, we know that they are feeling your love, and they know what your smile, oh sweet Jesus, looks like today. So let us take a moment now to share some of the fathers who have reflected Christ's love in each one of us. Let us share those names now. Robert and Warren. And we realize, gracious God, there are many fathers on our hearts who we have not declared and yelled out today. But we are so grateful for the wonderful positive influences we get in our life, both male and female. People who really show us what it looks like to be Christ on this earth, to reach out to the needs of others, to care for one another. So help each one of us be empowered by the wonderful fathers we have and to share your love in all times and all places. Amen. Fathers and men and boys, you may be seated. Lord, we thank you for the gift of fatherhood. We thank you for the many examples of faithful fathers in Scripture, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Zechariah. And we have already shared the names of other men who have inspired us by their fatherly examples, and we are so grateful for those examples. We are mindful on this day of all these men, and especially Joseph, the earthly father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had the courage and faith to say yes to your calling. May these men and boys gathered here today emulate these examples of faith, and may they model for all the rest of us what it means to be your disciple. Bless them on this special day in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to a time of offering. As we think about Trinity Sunday, we think about the God in three persons that we just sang in the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And the important thing about remembering the Trinity is remembering that God is a part of every step of our life. So let us make sure that God is a part of our giving. So let us now give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Please rise.
Please rise.
Let us pray together. Blessed Trinity, help us to feel the power of the Father, the presence of the Son, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Help us to put our trust in your blessed triune name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. First and foremost, on Father's Day, a great thanks to all our fathers for those who take their commitment to their children seriously and are fulfilling a godly and lifelong calling. We give thanks. We also remember those of our fathers who have been welcomed into the heavenly kingdom, especially those welcomed in the past year. We think of one who is a father to many of us in Ted Canfield. We think of one in our own family, Warren Toiber, but so many wonderful role models and examples in our world. Please keep in prayer Audrey Hahn as she continues to recover from an Achilles injury. And God be praised, she now has a cast and a walking boot so she can get around a little bit better. But she keeps praying for strength and a quick recovery. For Carolyn Weist, Tim Northrup's mom, who had fallen this past Tuesday. She is doing fine. She's just a little bit sore, but continue to pray for her strength with some of the swelling and other issues that have arisen. For Jim Eichel, you heard on our prayer chain that he was released from the hospital on Monday, but he was readmitted on Friday at Union, so they're still trying to get some of his issues sorted out, so please continue to pray for Jim on this road to recovery. It can definitely be frustrating anytime you're readmitted so close to your last hospitalization. For Terry Bonnell's niece, Dee Bonnell, she had an emergency appendectomy. We will keep her in prayer as she continues on the road to recovery. For Jackie and Steve Pasquinelli, who are on the road once again, safe travels for them. Thanksgiving for Kay Harmon, Jean Ann Baker's aunt, who had good test results after her surgery. So we continue to pray for her and hope those tests continue to stay very positive. And then Thanksgiving for the 70th anniversary for Chuck and Eleanor Bailey, Carolyn's grandparents. Wow, 70 years. What do you get somebody after 70 years? Make it after like 65, they run out of... That's awesome. What a wonderful celebration. Let us take some time in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you on this Trinity Sunday, realizing that so often we try to define you, to put you in a little box, but so often you transcend, transform, and remind us that you are a God of change and renewal and surprises. And we are so grateful for your vibrant and wonderful ministry that you provide to each and every one of us. We think about the rain that trickles outside. Realize that on a rainy day it can be tough to see the joy. But we remember our gospel text today from Romans. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And help us always, no matter how hard it rains in our life, to always be hopeful and caring people. And we pray for our fathers, for Audrey Hahn, for Carolyn Weiss, Jim Eichel, Dee Bonnell, Steve and Jackie Pasquinelli, Kay Harmon. Please keep them in your wonderful care and help them to know that no matter what happens, you, God, will be with them. And help us to celebrate today, too, as we celebrate Chuck and Eleanor Bailey. 70 wonderful years you have provided for them and blessed them. Help them to be an example for each and every one of us. For we know in this life we are called to love one another and care for one another. So help us to love as much as we possibly can and to care as much as we possibly can. For you, God, have blessed us with compassionate hearts. Help us to be your people of faith, love, and hope everywhere we go. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson comes from Psalm 8, which can be found on page 386. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, the silence, the foe, and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, which is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, which can be found on 798. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Thank you, Alicia. Our gospel today comes from the 16th chapter of John, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chant.
Come on up. There we go. Got the wheels on. So good morning, everybody. Let me get a little closer to you. So how's everybody doing today? Good? Yeah, hanging in? So we're going to talk about a kind of a tough topic to talk about in church today, but we're going to talk about pain, when we experience pain in our life. So I want to ask you, what's the most painful thing you've ever experienced? Nick? Getting hit by a baseball. I saw you get hit by a baseball. It was right here. Do you still have your bruise? Yeah, he still got his bruise right there. Paige? Oh, getting hit by a soccer ball. Rylan? By the edge of a what?
A goat.
Oh, okay. That happens. Ouchie.
My dad used to knock me right in my butt when I was little.
Oh, okay. It happens when you're little sometimes. Tyler? You broke your leg? Oh, that sounds bad. What were you doing? Do you remember? Oh, okay. Sometimes it happens. I broke an ankle just like that. One of my friends stepped on me. Brandon, what about you? Getting hit with a football in the face can be very painful. Oh, me too. Aubrey, how about you? What's something painful you felt? Yeah, getting a soccer ball. So a lot of us have gotten hit in the face with something that can be not so fun. So I want to talk about, compared to my childhood, some of you might have had it easily, because we're going to go through some of the painful things that I had. When I was 4, guess what happened? I touched a hot stove. What do you think happened to my hand?
Burn.
And what do you think I learned from that? Never touch a hot stove. All right, you learned something from your pain. Okay, when it's not on, sometimes you got to be very careful, because when you're 4, you can't really see if it's on or off sometimes. But when I was 6, I did not listen to my parents. I jumped on my parents' bed, and I jumped on my parents' bed quite a bit. What do you think happened? I hit the corner of the bed with this part of my head, and my parents needed a new bed after that. And I got 4 stitches right here. So what do you think I learned? Never jump on the bed, right? That's an important lesson.
I jump on my mom's
bed. Okay. Well, you're lucky. You haven't had any stitches yet.
We never
care.
And I jump on
my mom's. Oh, okay. When I was 7, let's see, what did I do when I was 7? Okay, when I was 7, who's ever ridden in their parents' shopping cart before? Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
I used to do that all the time. And well, one time we were at a place called Farm and Fleet, and I wanted this soccer ball, and Dad decided I shouldn't have this soccer ball. So he was going around the corner. I reached for the soccer ball out of the shopping cart when my dad told me not to. I fell down, and you know what happened to me? I looked like the dog from Little Rascals, because I had a big black eye on it right there. So what do you think I learned from that lesson? Never jump out of a shopping cart. Let's see. When I was 10, this was a good lesson for summer. I went to my cousin's house, and I ignored my mother's lesson. She said, when you go out on a hot summer day, what's the first thing you're supposed to do? Riley.
Put on sunscreen.
And I went to my cousin's house, and I played on their trampoline all day, and I didn't put a thing of sunscreen on. What do you think happened to me? I got really sunburned. I was like lobster red all over. I couldn't even move. Okay, you've gotten sunburned. So what do you think I learned? Paige? Sometimes it does hurt. I think I learned to put sunscreen on. So what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm telling you all these stories, is sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes we fall, sometimes we burn our fingers, sometimes we jump on the bed and we make those mistakes, but guess what? Sometimes you learn a lesson a hard way in life, but guess what? You still learn something from it. Your pain is not just something that you forget, and that's a good thing, right? Because what would happen if you forgot when you touched your finger on a hot stove? What would happen to you? You would do it again, probably, right? And you would keep doing it. So that's sometimes why we have pain, why God created pain, is so we would remember not to do bad things. Because what does God want us to do? Good things or bad things? Good things, fun things, things that we enjoy. And God wants that for you. So sometimes He has other methods for teaching us the important lesson. And that lesson we're going to learn today is that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope is very important to us. Yes, Robin.
I just wanted to say, have a great summer.
Have a great summer. That's important. That's a good segue. Let's do our joyful noise offering right now. And we're going to do this for our Tar Hollow mission, which is Esperanza. Esperanza just got a new church home, and we're trying to help support them and build up. Here, you can put this one in somebody's. All right, put your hand up if you haven't had a chance to put one in. Go find those hands, people. Somebody get Carter. There you go. All right, anybody else? Amy, somebody get Amy. All right, let's bring them back up and put them right back where you got them. Thank you all very much. Y'all did good work. That's going to help a great ministry. All right, let's get in our circle and let's have a moment of prayer. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for these kids and ask that you help them to continue to learn lessons in their lives. And hopefully not many of them are painful, but when they are, help them to remember you, God, will find a way to teach them, to educate them exactly as they need to be. Please bless them and thank them for supporting our ministry of Esperanza, and please help that church grow. And help us all be shepherds to our young people, and that may they have wonderful and awesome summers. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab a snack before you go. All right, go on. Enjoy. So our next hymn for you is going to be a real treat. This was actually written this past week by one of my good friends, a Moravian pastor, Greg Barron. For those of you who've been paying attention to our prayer concerns, Greg just welcomed a wonderful daughter, Amaya Lee Barron, into the world about 3 weeks ago, and we prayed prayers of joy with them. After that experience, Greg rewrote the lyrics to one of my favorite hymns, As a Mother Holds a Baby, to As a Father Holds a Child, and he wrote kind of his version of this. So I hope this is a hymn that really touches you and get to see some of the new Moravian hymn writing that comes out. There can be new songs that come out every once in a while. So let us sing together As a Father Holds His Baby.
Thank you.
for singing that hymn. It was a special treat to hear that. Also, a reminder for our fathers, our trustees have provided gifts for you out in the narthex, so feel free to grab one on your way out as a thanks for all the wonderful things you do for not only your family, but for our church as well. Let us take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words you inspire today. May you teach us all the wonderful things. And as a father holds his child, help us also to admire the love and the play and the laughter that you inspire each one of us. And may we never stop being your children of the greatest Father of all. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So I want to start my message today with a little story. So there's this elderly lady, a very strong, a very faithful Christian her entire life. She is well known for her faith. She is well known for her ability to speak her faith whenever she wanted to. And every single morning, that woman would jump out onto her front porch, and she would shout, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And next door to her happened to live a very angry atheist, who would get so angry at this woman when she would come out early in the morning. And as soon as that woman would shout, he would cry back, "There ain't no Lord! There ain't no Lord!" Now, unfortunately for this elderly woman, hard times beset her. And she was really down on her luck. She did not know where her next meal was coming from. So the next day when she got out on that front porch, she prayed her prayer very loudly. "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, I need some food, I need some food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries. I believe in you, send me some groceries." And the next morning, that woman wakes up and she sees a big bag of groceries on her front porch. And she yells out, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And then her neighbor, sneaking behind the bushes, comes out and says, "No, there ain't no Lord. I put the groceries out there for you. See, I told you you were wrong this whole time." And then the woman looks at her neighbor with a very big smile. And she said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Because not only did God provide me with groceries, but he got the devil to pay for it." Now the reason I tell you that anecdote, that story, is because that elderly lady had a lot of faith in her life, a lot of joy. It was clear to see that Jesus was going to be an important part of her life no matter what happened, even when she didn't know where her next meal was coming from. This woman had clearly endured a lot of suffering in her life. And we as a church, we as a culture, we don't like to talk about suffering all that much. It makes us feel uneasy. It makes us feel squeamish. And that is why when you go to church, it will always be way more full on Christmas than it is on Easter. Because it's far more comfortable for people to come and sing familiar Christmas hymns about a newborn baby than it is to talk about the suffering of the cross and the price Christ paid for each and every one of us. But if you think about it, Easter is a far more important holiday for Christians. For few people deny that Christ lived, but it is the fact that Christ rose from the dead that is in dispute. It is believing in the redemptive suffering of the cross that makes us Christians in the first place. And Trinity Sunday is a good day for us to talk about the identity of Christ and what he means to us. For what makes Christianity unique is not that we have a powerful God. Every religion has a God who is omnipotent and omniscient. Every religion has a God that can do wonderful and miraculous things. What makes Christians unique is that our Savior was not only wounded, but he physically died for us. He physically laid down his life for us. In other religions and other ideologies, they may brand you a heretic for saying that God can be wounded or hurt. However, as disciples of Christ, we are called to recognize that Christ shed his precious blood for us, for us, the Lamb was slain. Suffering is a part of who we are as children of God. Suffering is a part of our identity as children of God. It is the ultimate paradox that Christ's greatest strength comes from his greatest weakness, his willingness to be wounded for us. And it's easy to talk about the suffering that Christ laid for each one of us. But what about us when it comes to our own life? What about our own personal struggles, our own personal suffering? Because when it comes to the end of the day, we ask ourselves, why must we feel sorrow? Why must we feel pain? Why must we all feel the sharp sting of grief? And I hate to disappoint you, but those are questions that none of us will get an answer to until we arrive at the pearly gates. What we can say is that as children of God, our suffering does not need to be hopeless. We can, as Paul teaches us, remember that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And a wise theologian said, we first get hope by looking away from ourselves to the Lamb of God, and then next by looking into ourselves as transformed by looking unto Jesus. So we look upon Jesus to change how we look at ourselves. And that is where our hope comes from. That is where our hope is renewed. And it sounds like a real beautiful sentiment from that theologian. But let us break it down into real concrete way. What does it look like to have the hope that Christ provides and that Paul preaches about for us today? What does that look like in a real, tangible way? Let me give you an example of what I think that looks like to have the hope that Jesus offers us. I'm going to tell you about two people, two mythical people who live in a nursing home. But people who, I'm sure if you hear the names and descriptions, you can resonate with who these people are. But Jack and Mary are two people who live at the same identical nursing home. Jack is in his early 60s. He's a lifetime alcoholic. And he's in the nursing home for a short-term rehab from a knee surgery. Everything that has ever happened to Jack in his life has always been somebody else's fault. It's always been a finger pointed at somebody else. And it's turned him into a miserable person. His misery is contagious, and he spreads it every chance he gets. He's miserable to the nurses. He's miserable to the staff. He's miserable to the therapist. He's miserable to the few family members that will still visit him. Meanwhile, there's Mary. Mary is a 99-year-old widower who has had multiple strokes that have left her wheelchair bound. She can no longer read her morning paper like she likes to. She can no longer hear the television set very well. She has trouble remembering what happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, what happened yesterday. Sometimes she has trouble recounting that. Yet every day, Mary comes at that nursing home. Every single day, and she wakes up with a smile. And she shows gratitude for every single person that walks into her door. She personally thanks them and shows them that she cares about them. And the funny thing is, Mary takes far more personal care time than Jack does. But if you ask every employee in that building, who would they want a building full of, Mary's or Jack's? Every single one of them would say, give us a building full of Mary's. Because she's such a happy, joyful person. And it's even stranger because if you compare their circumstances, Mary's suffering far outweighs the suffering of Jack's. It's not even close when you add it all up. But she is the one who has hope in her life. She is the one who gives and receives loves. So brothers and sisters, I ask you, when it comes to dealing with suffering, when it comes to dealing with difficulty in your life, which of these two people are you going to be? Are you going to be a Jack who is always woe is me? Or are you going to be a Mary who can find hope in anything, even when everybody around her struggles to find hope? For Mary may not have been given a whole lot in her life, but every day she allowed God's hope to be poured into her heart. She knows that she was not created to suffer. She was created to love. And one of my favorite quotes is, God created us because he thought we might enjoy it. God created us because he thought we might enjoy it. Never underestimate the power of God-given hope to transform lives. Paul said in verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when it comes to facing suffering, when it comes to facing difficult circumstances in your life, be a Mary. Now that does not mean as Christians we ignore our suffering or the suffering of others. It means that we simply do not let our suffering or the suffering of others define us, overwhelm us, or overpower us. Because we as children of God are not defined by our hurt or our pain. We are defined by our ability to keep our faith in Christ despite facing difficult circumstances. We are defined by our ability to love, even though there may be people around us and close to us breaking our hearts that very moment. We love anyways. We are defined by our ability to believe in the eternal hope offered to us and all of creation. Even when everyone around us can tell us a million things that are wrong with the world and a million things that are wrong with us, we never lose hope. And when we cling to that hope, the hope that Christ offers us, it reminds us that God is good. God is wonderful. It reminds us that humanity often falls short, but we have a tendency to surprise each other with acts of kindness and love that touch us on a very deep and spiritual level. Acts that remind us that we are not just here by accident. We are here to love one another. It reminds us that when we take time to pour out hope out of our hearts on a daily basis, that our hope is not circumstantial. Our hope is not dependent on the next lottery ticket that comes out of our pocket, whether we win or lose. Our hope is eternal, and God will supply everything we need in this life and the next. So may we never lose hope, because no matter how difficult life is, no matter how scary it gets, hope renews us, hope restores us. And it is Christ that reminds us that hope can always be resurrected and provide us with more faith, hope, and love than we ever thought was possible. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the hope in our lives. We realize the words of Apostle Paul today, that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We realize that inevitably all of us are going to have to suffer at some point in this fallen world. We ask that you help us to see that no matter how difficult our circumstances get, no matter how trying, no matter how scary, help our faith to remain strong, our hope to be eternal, and our love to be endless. For we know that you, Christ Jesus, did the same for each and every one of us. And we are so grateful that you are our personal Lord and Savior. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing, "This Is My Father's World."
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.